listening to the Empowered Caregiver Show with Kristen and Liza, and I am here today with Anne and Colleen from Lily's Fund. And before we went to break, I was telling about an experience where my daughter had a seizure, and it really shook me to the core. And then I'm thinking, well, wait a minute, she doesn't have epilepsy. And then I started to get confused. And I'm just curious if you can expand on that a little bit for people that don't know a lot about epilepsy. Can you have a seizure and not have epilepsy?
Yes, is the short answer. And they have certain numbers of, you know, if you have a certain number of seizures, and it's really not very many. I've heard two or three. It's what happens and how many you have and if you need to be medicated. And as I think we said earlier, like 80% of people are, their seizures are controlled through medication. And so I think an important part in the awareness and education part of what we do is helping people understand that there are literally like a dozen plus different kinds of seizures. And yes. So personally, our daughter has a very severe form of epilepsy called Dravet syndrome. And I've had people call me, like if somebody they know has a seizure or their friend's kid had a seizure or whatever. And I'm always very sensitive because I don't want people to think that, oh my gosh, if my kid has a seizure, it's going to be as bad as Grace's and she's going to have developmental delays or, you know, all of that kind of thing. That's not necessarily the case. And I think it's really an important message because it really ranges from A to Z. And the causes of seizures, like with your daughters, sometimes you just don't know why. However, the leading cause of seizures currently is from traumatic brain injury. It's a huge indicator that you could develop, not that you for sure will, but you could develop seizures.
The other thing we always try to explain to folks is that we all have a threshold for seizures, every one of us. So if we go out and drink alcohol to a certain level, we could have a seizure. Mm-hmm. Or if we have a fever that's very, very high, we could have a seizure. So people with epilepsy, their threshold is very low, and to bump over that threshold is very easy. And medication raises their threshold a bit. So if you have one seizure in a year and it was because you didn't get enough sleep, well, you might be okay. You know, if you just make sure you get a sleep schedule going. Other people, it's not that easy.
Thank you so much for explaining that. And that's a little bit, when my daughter was taken to the hospital, she wasn't sleeping well. She was going to be moving over to California as a teenager, 19 years old, and hadn't eaten or drank anything in like 10 hours or something. And it all just hit her at mm-hmm. once. So thank you for that clarification. Was there anything else that you wanted to make sure everyone knew about epilepsy, or do we feel like we've got that covered?
I think the only thing is that I do feel like, and I know Colleen agrees, that there is still this stigma associated with epilepsy, that not so much with other kinds of diseases. I mean, we liken it to breast cancer many, many years ago. I mean, you never would have heard the word breast said, and now look at, you know, the pink and the all the support and research that's gone into that. That's kind of what we want to do with the awareness piece of this, is we want people to be able to say, I have epilepsy, and not feel like they're going to be looked at differently.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's so important. That just brings me back to my childhood, and there was a classmate that had epilepsy, mm-hmm. and she did kind of have a wall around her. You know, it wasn't mm-hmm. explained to us. We didn't know what to do. Mm-hmm. So awareness is key. And we were talking during break about the luau, and you said that you've done that for 10 years. And are you currently doing that, or what are your current mission?
We are not doing it anymore. A few years ago, we kind of had it sunset. So the luau went on for 10 years, and really almost every year it seemed we doubled in size with attendance and with money raised. And the thing that about Lily's Fund that's super awesome, we talk about it being very grassroots. It's completely volunteer run. There's no overhead. There's no staff. And so as this thing grew, we had this army of volunteers, which has been was awesome. But as we approached 10 years, we'd been doing it a lot. All of us have been to lots of events that maybe should have, you know, ended, got a little tired. And we never wanted to get to that point. We wanted to always end on a high note. And 10 years had gone by, and there had been changes for Ann and I and our families, you know, from a caregiving standpoint. I was looking at caregiving for my parents. We each had things going on with our kids. And so we just had this feeling that the time was right. And so, you know, by the end, we were having an event that had 800 plus people, I think, and raised, you know, we'd raised over $1 million. And so we felt really good about it. And then also panicked, like, oh my gosh, what's going to happen now? And the good thing is Lily's Fund has continued to go on. It's quieter from, you know, the standpoint that we don't have this big, ginormous, very fun, cool event, but we are still fundraising. We still have our scientific advisory board, and we still give out $100,000 grants every single year, which, as Ann talked about earlier, those are the springboards for epilepsy research that gets granted on a national level. So it's very cool. And the folks who receive those grants go on across the country when they leave UW, for example. And so Lily's Fund is kind of carrying itself along in their baggage with them in a good way.
That is awesome.
I love that image.
And where can people find you if they wanted to make a donation?
www.liliesfund.org. Lily has L-I-L-Y.
And there is, we have a good presence on Facebook and all social media. So, there's been a lot of cool things happening at UW since all of the funding, you know, and the research goes on at UW. And there's events through some student organizations where they're raising lots of dollars. In fact, I think it's the Greek System has Lily's Classic that started several years ago, and they raised this year $20,000.
That is so awesome.
It's really cool how just the little tentacles that happen.
And I even saw on your website the football players having the sticker on the helmet. So that is wonderful that the whole university just kind of embraced it and is carrying on the mission. I'm wondering if we switch gears a little bit here, how has having a child with epilepsy impacted your life?
It changed the trajectory, not just the epilepsy, but also with our daughter, there's an intellectual disability. And so, you know, when I think about our family and Lily and the siblings and everything, it changed everything. And it's the reason that, you know, I didn't work for a while and career was put on pause and things like that. So I just think it changes your whole life for good and bad. Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously, I wouldn't have ever met Colleen had I didn't have a daughter with epilepsy and a gazillion other people. I mean, it has opened doors for us as well. But I won't say it wasn't hard, especially at the beginning. We have this saying on our kitchen wall that it says, be willing to, I'm gonna screw it up here. I wrote it down. We must be willing to get rid of the life we've planned so as to have the life that is waiting for us. And that was a really hard thing.
To do
in the beginning, but once you allow for it and open yourself up, okay, so Lily may not be going to college, and so, but there are other steps that she has made which have brought so much joy and pride to all of us. So
I would agree with that. It's not so much a diagnosis of epilepsy or cancer or autism, or which each is, you know, devastating in its own right. But it's the, you know, when you have kids, you have this nice little package that's wrapped that you think, okay, this is the way it's going to be. And boom, it's not. And I think particularly looking back, and Ann and I have talked about this a lot, the whole rear view mirror thing. When your kids are younger, I think especially, and we try to be really sensitive now because it's easy to talk about, you know, my kids' traveling team for this and the grades for this and the college entrance for this and the this. And it is so exciting. But you realize, you know, for some, you're not going to have that necessarily. And then there's the whole sibling part of it, too. Like, you know, if you have other kids and how that all, the whole stigma that they deal with and how that evolves over time. So, yeah.
Yeah, and it's really hard not to be hurt by other people who are talking about these big dreams when you're in the middle of a crisis. Haven't we all been there, right? Exactly. And I wish society, I wish we all could open ourselves up to being able to brag about all kinds of things, all kinds of neurodiverse accomplishments and things like that. That would be seen as just as amazing as a college entrance exam score or, you know, making a certain team. I wish as a society we were more like that.
I think that's a great point. I really appreciate that idea of a lot of the accomplishments and steps that our three daughters have been able to make, having epilepsy and having intellectual disabilities, should be viewed as important, if not more important, than the kid who got into UW-Madison.
So, for example, Lily is now working in a bakery position at Hy-Vee and is so excited about it.
Oh,
so,
that's awesome.
Yeah, especially the hat she gets to wear. So I'm beaming right now. Beaming.
One thing, too, that I think is really cool that we've watched, a couple of things. You know, what we've noticed is that, you know, like in our personal case, our daughter is, she's very super social, super sweet, you know, all of that. And so that's awesome. And I completely acknowledge that my heart goes out when there are behavioral issues that, you know, are not that. And one thing that's been wonderful in our case is that we feel like Grace has made other people's lives better because of what they've experienced with her. They've watched her. You know, you talk about your village and your community, and you know, there's a lot of people who have people she went to school with, high school, for example, who I know went into special ed to some degree because of the interaction that they had with her, and you know, family friends. And I feel like it was a teaching tool for other parents to have conversations with their kids about people who aren't like just like them. And so that, I would say that's a big positive.
That is. What a wonderful thing to highlight. You can tend to forget that, you know, the impact that your child has on everyone else. And I know that we all have some of those personal experiences where they've brightened somebody's day or made them take a career path that they may have not have thought of before. So that is just amazing, an amazing work that you're doing. Kristen, do you have any final thoughts that you want to?
If you could say in just a couple words what you are the most proud of so that we end on a really high note with the two of you.
I am most proud of the fact that we've actually done this and that the four of us are having this conversation. I think we're making a difference for our own families and for our peers, being parents and in our community.
Great. Anne?
I think it's that we've come from a place of extreme anxiety and worry to, we got this. And I'd love to be able to share with people who have young children who are worried about it. It will be okay. You got this.
Excellent.
What
Thank
wonderful
you.
Words of wisdom. Thank you so much for coming today and for all the amazing work that you've done and are doing.
Thank you.
You're listening to The Empowered Caregiver, and we'll be back after this short break.